Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhagen, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCB 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
Well, welcome back into the House of Mystery. I'm Al Warren. Now today, joining me, we've got a writer, returning author. And the new book is called Scorch Mark. So, J.P. McLean, thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure. It's fun to be back.
Yeah. You notice, you see, I called you McLean, right? I didn't want to say McLean.
Well, you did it right. You did McLean right. Although I'm sure there are some people that pronounce it McLean.
It's the McLean.
There was a time when McDonald's had a burger that they called the McLean burger.
Yeah, that's right.
And I got that a lot.
I still remember it, so I want them to bring it back. So when you write, I always wonder about this when people are writing a series like this. This is Dark Dreams series, and it's book three. Did you have it in mind at the very beginning when you were writing book one that this was going to be three books, or maybe it's even going to go further? Do you sort of plan that all out for a series?
I don't. I probably should. And I do hope that there will be a second book as I'm writing the first. And sometimes I can see further ahead than that. In my last series, I saw, I think the last three or four books I saw all at once. But my goal is in making the book I'm writing be as entertaining and complete as I can. Because I like the first book especially to be totally standalone, no cliffhangers. So I don't do the business at the end that makes you, you know, think that there's something missing and you have to go read the next book. So I don't. When I was writing the first book, I did see the second book. So I started writing the second book and I wasn't sure if there would be a third book because there needed to be enough for there to be a third book. And then an idea hit me and I ran with it. And that ended up being the third book that just came out.
So is it the character and what you want to do to a character or two or several? Or is it just the story and you're kind of throwing the characters into it? Like, what is it that starts out when you said you had an idea?
Oh, okay. Well, the idea, the books are all based on one character, the main character, whose name is Jane Walker. And she's born with a string of birthmarks around her body, blood red blood marks. And we learn in the first book, and it's hinted at even on the back of the book, that the marks are protecting her. And so I thought, this would be really interesting if I gave those blood marks or the protection of the blood marks to the bad guys. So that was the idea when I was writing Ghost Mark, that I thought, I'm going to turn the tables on this and make it so that they've got to outsmart one another. They can't resort to shoot them up, bang, bang, killing one another, because they can't. They're protected with these marks. And that made it a lot of fun.
That's really kind of a really cool idea. It's almost like a sci-fi in a sense.
I suppose.
You know, like when you go back to the 60s, some of the old shows, they always sort of, quite often they had something like that. You know, there was these unwritten things that you kind of know. I guess sci-fi is not really it, but just sort of, it's very inventive. I like it.
Oh, thanks.
So you get thumbs up here. So.
Well, the good versus bad, or good versus evil, is always fun to play with, because there's so many things you can do with it. There are so many ways you can show it, like in the clothing they wear and in the things that they say. It's fun. It's the white hat, black hat type of scenario where you can really twist words and make the things that are good seem bad and the things that are bad seem good.
So what if the guy wears a purple hat? Is he good or bad?
I think that would make him Barney.
Yeah, Barney. Well, that's it. Well, you know, that's just, but that, you know.
Yeah, that's good.
Can you trust him? You know, that's a, can we trust a purple hat? You know, well, that's kind of good. And now, are you living through Jane Walker when you're writing a book? Like for the whole time, however long it takes you to write one of these books. So that whole time, are you living through Jane Walker's eyes?
I am when I'm writing it. I mean, I don't day to day, you know, cooking. I'm not thinking about it. But when I am writing, I'm most certainly her. And same thing with the other characters. When I'm writing the Sadie character, who's her best friend, who has her own voice in this book, I'm her. And that's fun because she's a prostitute.
Oh, well, there you go.
In her spare time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a fun one.
Yeah.
but I do enjoy being able to get into the headspace of the character. And I think that makes it more entertaining for the reader as well, because there are little things that you can do when you're in someone's headspace to make it that person's headspace versus the other characters. So, you know, the language you use and the profanities that you use, the way you speak makes you different from the other character, and that makes it easier for the reader to follow the story.
For the whole time that it takes you to write, how long did it take you to write this one?
The outlining starts way before the book gets written, but the outline's done before I start writing, even if it's not a really good outline. So I would say with the outline, like after the outline was solidified, it was about 8 months of writing.
For that 8 months, I don't know about you, but now that I've been writing in the fiction area this last year, I find that it's a lot more emotional, let's say. You feel it a lot more than when you're writing true stories. For me, I find this is a lot different experience writing. And so if you're writing it and you're going through the mind, so you're kind of living as Jane Walker as you write her story and other characters and stuff, at the end of the book, when you put it into the publisher and it's sort of done and going to be coming out, do you think that 8 months has changed you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it does change you. And I think it's because you create this world, like all of the problems that come with this world and all of the quirks and all of the angst is something you have created. So it does impact you because you know that if you weren't there, these problems wouldn't exist. These people wouldn't have gone through this. Oftentimes, it's quite emotional. And even if it's not to somebody else, but when you finish it, it's quite emotional, just in the sense that you're putting these people through hell. And that's your job as a writer in my kind of genre, in any case, because you've got to make their lives as miserable as possible to make it entertaining. Isn't that a terrible thing to say?
I was going to say, what a meanie.
But it's kind of true. If everything is all, you know, sunshine and rainbows, it's probably not a supernatural thriller. In order for it to be a supernatural thriller and suspenseful, you've got to have a lot of nasty stuff happening.
You should be J.P. McMean.
Well, maybe I am. Some people.
Yes, you could write certain books under the McMean label.
Oh, wouldn't that be funny? I could have a whole bunch of personas with the Mac in front of it.
Yeah, just think about it. This is we've got a whole new outlook here for you here.
Yeah,
this is going to be
Mac
wild.
Romance, Mac Fantasy,
Mac tonight. Make it Mac. See, you got lots of stuff going on. Did you come up again? I like to see this. Did you? So when you said you had the idea.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So you get the idea, and you start putting your characters into it. Did you have a theme? Was there something that you wanted to get across to the reader in the book that comes out of this idea?
Not that comes out of that idea, but and it's interesting because I think a lot of times themes don't really show themselves until after when the book is finished. And the theme, I would say, in this one is family. And I know that does not go with what I just said earlier about making things so nasty, but the main character was abandoned at birth. And all through the three books, but culminating in this third book, the notion of family and what it means and the family you're born with versus the family you make for yourself, that would be the theme. And it's the sacrifices you make to maintain or destroy those families that is the crux of this book. And I know that doesn't sound like when you read the back of the book, that is not what you read. But I think that's what it is.
So you're lying to people. You write something on the back of the book, and when they get it, they get something different.
No, it's the theme. It's like it's going to grab you. When you're done, you're going to say, okay, it was a really great ride. Because, of course, they're going to say that. It's my book, right?
Yeah.
It was a great ride, a great story. But when they sit and think about it, it'll be, that was about family.
So relationships are really important to you then?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All the books have really strong relationship elements. Loyalty is important to me, and I think that comes through in spades.
So a lot of you is in these characters as well. So you're not just living out Jane Walker, let's say, or Sadie. You are actually putting yourself into them as well.
Yeah, a little bit. I think it's kind of hard not to when you're writing, because your stories are the culmination of who you are, and things you've been through inform your characters and your stories. So I do think that there is a little bit of everybody who writes in their characters. I mean, there's a bunch of other people too in my characters, people I know, people in my family, little bits and pieces of their personalities that, you know, little quirks that I see, things that have happened, you know, I dress them up in, you know, different clothes, but yeah, it does come out. I even put some physical traits in. And in the first series in particular, which we're not talking about, but when I was new at writing, it was easier for me to write some of the details knowing some of the physical traits were the same as ones I had, my character. In this latest series, I've given Jane one of my annoying characteristics because I know how people react to it, and it's fun to play with. So that little bit of me, like, I'm a neat freak. I'm absolutely neat freak. I can't cook unless the kitchen counter is completely cleaned and the sinks are scrubbed. You know, yeah. The closets have to be organized. So it's so annoying for someone like my husband, who is not neat at all. Yeah. So that characteristic is super fun for me to put into characters and into stories. And I do it on purpose.
So it's kind of you're writing for your reader in a sense then, in a case like that.
Yeah, you do. And I like to think that when I'm writing, I pick somebody. And it's usually my sister I pick. And I'm thinking, I'm writing for her. This story is for her and everyone else who's like her.
Well, we have her on the other line right now.
Do you?
She's got
she
something to say.
Tell me that.
She's got something to say about this right now. She's not happy.
Well, I had a really funny thing happen. In my family at home in Ontario, we rarely swear. We never say that F word, never. But it's in my books. And I've recently been toying with narrating these books myself. And so I took a short course on it and learned how to do it and got the equipment and did a test run with the first chapter. And not even thinking about it, I sent it off to my beta readers and asked for their feedback. And I also sent it to my sister, the one who reads my books, and I asked her to play it for my parents who live next door to her, and they're not as savvy with computer equipment as she is. So she calls me a couple of days later and says, well, Mom and Dad were over, and I played your recording, and she says, I thought it was maybe you were speaking a little too quickly. And her girlfriend was also there. And the girlfriend thought I was speaking a little too slowly. Mom thought it was very, very good.
Of course.
And my father wondered who the narrator with the sailor mouth was. I had totally forgot that was in there. And then I was embarrassed. Oh, no.
Oh, no. That stuff, you don't want parents to see that.
No, I know. My poor parents. They put up with a lot.
Yeah, my God. See, and they tell you they're not savvy. It's because they don't want to hear this sort of foul language. My God.
Well, I got to say, that word did slip out one time when I was talking with my dad, and he, honest to God, stopped mid-stride and looked at me. I said, oops, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's funny how that is, you know. Each generation seems to get a lot looser with language, you know.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. You always say supernatural thriller. Why is it driven by the supernatural?
Oh, I love that part of it. And I've loved that from a very young age. I like the concept that we don't know everything yet and that there could be abilities we don't know we have. So I play with that. And in the first series, I went over the top, you know, flying and you know, telekinesis and that stuff. But I find it fascinating, and I love the possibility. I go there all the time. I remember when I was a kid, I read The Chrysalids. John Wyndham, that's his name, John Wyndham. And that, the whole idea that you could speak with your mind without using words and just mind speak telepathically,
right.
I found that fascinating. And so though that was the start of it, I've been drawn to, you know, the idea that people can fly or the idea that people can move things with their minds. And I just find it really super interesting, and therefore I put it in my books.
Where do you draw the line, or do you? Like, are you just kind of using the what's been kind of mainstream in a sense of, you know, like the, you know, moving things with your mind or speaking with your mind and stuff like that? You know, are you kind of taking what's already out there, and or do you create some of your own?
I'd like to think I've created some of my own, but I sincerely doubt it. There has been so much written. The one author that comes to mind is Victoria Aveyard and her Red Queen series of books. When I was reading that one, I thought, wow, I thought I had a good imagination. Hers is off the charts for magic and the things you can do with magic. So I don't think that anything I have written is truly original. I think I've used it in an original way, in the sense that I set all of my books in the here and now. And they're very solidly anchored in, in Vancouver is where I set them. And I do that because when I'm reading books that are set like that, I find it so much easier to slip in the supernatural and make it believable. And then you can put more supernatural in.
Never enough Bewitched.
Oh, guilty as charged.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, so is Vancouver written as a character then?
No, it is, definitely. I like, any city would have done. Any city has, you know, all of the components that you need for an inner city type of story. But I know Vancouver probably better than other cities. And I, you know, if I'm going to make a mistake about a city, I'd rather make it about I'd rather have the mistake be one that I can own and say, oh, yes, I got that wrong, versus, you know, if I was to place it in Chicago, I would have to be either traveling there, spending a lot of time there just to get to know the feel of the place. So I know what this place feels like. I lived there for 10 years and I live downtown. So, I know the streets. I know the feel of it, at least the feel of it before COVID. I am sure it has completely changed since then, but I'm basing it on the before COVID time frame.
Right. So when you were writing about your streetwalker, were you down there walking the streets?
I have walked those streets. I do know what that looks like. Yes, I definitely have observed quite a bit of that. And, you know, as a writer, it's fun. That's probably one of the things, even before you know you're a writer, you're observing people and you're playing stories in your mind. What's that person doing here? How'd they get here? You know, how'd this come about? Where are they going when they're finished here? You know, what did they do? Where are they going to spend the night? That kind of thing.
Wow. So like if people are walking around Vancouver and they see you, they should sort of probably run away.
Or introduce themselves.
Maybe yeah.
Using their name.
they'll be next in the book. You know, how do you write the evil person? The evil character, or the ones that are trying to do, let's say they're setting up the tension, the ones that we should be scared of the most.
Those characters are the people in my life that have irritated me or tried to hurt me. You know,
talking about your husband again?
Never. No, no. But I think back to former colleagues, bosses, sometimes friends, schoolyard bullies, sometimes movies. You know, you get some ideas from watching movies and reading other books. But I think the arrogance of people is one of the things that I typically will put into my bad person. There's usually a sense of arrogance and rightness that they think that they're right.
Yeah, you kind of have to. I think you have to show that side because you want the reader to understand why they're doing what they're doing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
because they got to understand that. They got to know why. I mean, otherwise it becomes very, the character becomes very blah if they're just a killer, you know, or nothing else.
Yeah.
So do you like writing your bad people?
I do. You know, the best part of writing the bad people, well, actually the best part of all of it, but the bad people in particular is the dialogue, because I get to pick what goes in their mouth, you know, what they say. And I love being able to develop character through the way they say things, the words they use, the punch of the words, like whether or not you're going to put a period after every word in "I'm not going there," you know, that type of visual in the writing that portrays character is fun. I do find that fun.
You just like being able to swear.
I love being able to put words in people's mouths. I think back to all the arguments you've had in your life, you know, and you never get the exact right retort at the right time. And when you're writing, you can do that.
Right.
It's always perfect timing, and the retort is just wonderful.
So are you one that has to be in a certain location when you're doing these books?
I wouldn't say I'm one that has to be. It's just that I don't generally go anywhere. So I am.
So you're always there.
I usually sit in the same spot because it's just where all my stuff is, you know, handy mug and my reference material and such. And if I'm not writing here, I have on occasion been at my sister's house, and I just find a quiet corner. That's the only thing I really need is quiet. Otherwise, no, I can write anywhere, but I do have my favorite spots. The other thing I do is I have different spots for different writing, and I think that that's because, you know, when I'm in my creative mood, I'm in one spot, and if I was to start doing my marketing type things, it's just a mental thing. It doesn't flow as well. Like, I can't do my creative stuff where I'm doing my marketing stuff. I can do it the other way around. But my creative stuff, it's almost like I've created a little corner in a room that's only for creative thinking. There's no internet. There's no radio. It's just quiet in that little corner. And when I'm doing my marketing kind of things, I can have music on. The TV can be going in the background. It doesn't really bother me. I can sit there and, you know, my things that I need to do, but not my creative stuff. That's kind of like a sacred little spot that I cordoned off. And when I'm in my sister's house, same thing. As long as it's quiet, I can do it.
And that's where the bodies are, right? The dead bodies.
In the backyard.
Yeah. Is mood important to you then? Can you just go about this writing thing anytime, or do you have to put yourself in a certain mood or be in a mood, or, you know, it just doesn't work all the time?
No, I can pretty much put myself in the mood for it. But I do notice things. Like, for example, it's really difficult to write a heavy, heavy fight scene on a brilliant, sunny, warm day. And on a miserable winter rain, you know, leaf throwing when the leaves are sticking to the windows because the wind's so bad and the rain's bad, it's hard to write a happy, upbeat scene. You really have to work harder on those days. And it's just perfect if when it's crappy out, you're writing a really tough scene. It just adds to it.
Do you ever write, is there, let's say, is there a lot of violence in any of your books, or do you write violence in the book?
I do.
Are you conscious of it then? Are you thinking about how you write it for the reader, or do you just kind of go with what you feel is right?
I go with what I feel is right. I'm usually in that character's head. So if there is violence happening, they're probably defending themselves.
Oh, so you say.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what that character would think at the time. So it's not, they have to do as much as they have to do to get themselves out of whatever situation they're in. And sometimes it's not much. Sometimes they just have to be clever and think clever and do something clever. And other times they actually do have to, you know, grab the knife. And this character, she keeps a knife in her boot because she grew up on the street, so she's familiar with knives.
Is that where you keep yours?
I do.
Oh, I could see it.
It's
surprises my friends. And that's a hoot. That is such a hoot, because I have friends that go, I didn't know this about you. I think they tend to think that I am the characters that I am not, but they aren't the characters I guess they thought I would be writing. They thought I'd be writing happy things.
Happy.
I go to the dark side.
Yeah, writing about, you know, little cats. Being all happy. And,
you know, that's one thing I never write about. I do not write nasty things about animals. Like, I can't go there. That's just so awful because I'm a pet lover.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. Actually, and it's a turnoff for me. It's a turnoff all the way around. Like, if I get a book, or even if I'm watching a show, and if it's something that's really awful to an animal, I usually go off of it then. It turns me off of it.
I read a book once. I can't remember the name of it, but I got to a scene, and it was already read, and I couldn't unread it. And I think of it to this day, and it just is so sad. And I wish I had never, ever read it.
Yeah, I'm not one for that. And I don't know what it is. It's something that's happened as I get older for some reason. Maybe I'm just getting old and soft. I don't know.
Maybe that's it.
That's it. I don't know. I don't like it. So what do you, you don't know if you're going to do a book four then at this point, or do you?
At this point, I'm not going to do a book four. And the reason I'm not doing a book four is because I've been contemplating, and a bunch of witches have been kind of nagging at me. They want me to get back into more magic. So
okay.
I am jotting down. I'm at the outline stage for a book about witches and warlocks, and I'm trying to well, I'm not trying to. I will find a different take on witches and warlocks, because I don't want to redo things that have already been done. I want to put a new twist on witches and warlocks, and that's what I'm working on.
Okay, so they're going to, like, you're going to have a group of witches and warlocks that are running a spa?
Well, you know, that's funny. I have no interest in writing werewolves or vampires. I don't know why. It just doesn't interest me. But the warlocks and witches, that's got potential.
Oh, well, there we go. So what happens to these characters then? So you're not going to write a book for. So what's going to happen with these characters that you've spent all this time with?
Well, there may be a book four, but not right away. It's the same with the first series. I mean, it's finished as well. Like, I think it's wrapped up really nicely. I could go back and, I mean, there's so many things this character can do, because she's part of her thing. She's got these marks protecting her because she sees the past. She has the gene that allows her to witness past events, and she's charged with righting the wrongs that she sees. So there's tons of potential for her to continue on. It's just that at this time, I'd like to start something fresh.
Right. You know, yeah, and it is really wrong to wear old jeans that you used to wear 20 years ago.
Well, you know, the other interesting thing about series, I've written two series. I've written 10 books, but they're in two series. So I'm always talking about usually the first book. So really, it's two books that I talk about the most, the first in series of these books. So the more series I have, or the more first books I have, the more interesting my writing life is, because I can then pick more, okay, I'm going to write another Bloodmark book. I'm going to write another gift book. Or maybe I'm going to write another witch book. But it gives me more options down the road for what I'm going to write next.
So these characters, they're still there, but you just don't think about them? They disappear? And when you go back to a character, have you ever done that? Go back to someone that you've written years later. Do you have any difficulty picking up?
I've not done that yet. So time will tell, I suppose. I do leave them behind. I have to. And in, like, the first series, there's 7 books. I knew that main character. It was written in first person. I knew her inside and out. And breaking from her was necessary in order to write a different character and make it sound different. I wanted
I didn't want people who read the first series to pick up the next series and say, oh, this is the same girl, just in a different set of circumstances. So I think it's important that you do distance yourself. For me, I have to distance myself from the characters in my existing characters in order to create a new one.
So you just use them and then dump them?
Yep. I'm awful that way.
Well, for nice. So, where are you going to go next? Like, what's up for JP next?
Well, two things. I'm narrating my Dark Dreams novels, which is fun. And I'm also picking away at this Witches and Warlocks. Yeah. But Christmas comes first. I hate to say that because I've had such great fun at Christmas markets this year. I don't know why. I guess it's just maybe the first time since COVID that people are happy again. I'm still seeing lots of masks, and that's fine. That's just fine. But I think people are happier, and so I'm enjoying that. And I'm volunteering on the weekend at a big market. We have a 2-day Christmas craft fair here on Denman Island, and it's a huge event. People bus in from off island to come and buy things for Christmas. And I'm volunteering at a fundraising dessert table in the lounge. So it's going to be a hoot. There's about 4 or 5 of us, and we're all fairly humorous people, so it's going to be all looking forward to it.
Well, yeah, it'll be do you like doing live events then, and book signings and things like that?
Oh, I love doing them. Yeah. I did my biggest event ever this year. I did one in the summer called Comox Nautical Days, and it was a 3-day event where you set up your tent for 3 days, 3 long days. But I sold more books than I've ever sold before in one event, and that was phenomenal. It was 140-some books.
Wow.
Lots of talking to brand new people that I have never met before, and then I was able to send them, you know, they may pick up the first in series like they all do, and then I can send them to local bookstores for the next in the series, and that helps the local bookstores out too.
Yeah. No, it's good stuff. You know, it's tiring. The live events, you know, mentally tiring.
Physically too, like, geez, sometimes you just have to take your shoes off and wander around barefoot just because your feet are sore, or sit down because your back is sore. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I always just sit up with my feet up, and anybody brave enough to come by and buy a book, then, you know, hey, you know, it's all good. You're happy with the publishing world the way it is now?
I've kind of made my spot in it.
Yeah.
I think that it's going to be continuously changing. I think that the whole idea of books written by artificial intelligence is challenging. I mean, not challenging from a writer's perspective. I think more about the readers who pick these books up unknowingly or unwittingly, and they open them up and start reading them, and it's garbage. And I think that that's going to somehow come to a head and be fixed, hopefully.
Yeah, I don't quite get it. I don't understand how anything I've seen by AI seems to be very, you know, it's not very good. I don't know. It's choppy. It's not really good stuff. So I don't know.
I mean, I think there's a place and a purpose where you can use it, and I've certainly used it. And in particular, I'll help get it to help me with marketing. Like, I'll ask it for 10 of the most popular Twitter hashtags or this or that. You know, I'll narrow the question down as best I can. And that saves me a lot of work, you know, and you can ask it to, you know, come up with put your next blog post in and say, give me a 3-word or 4-word or 5-word title that is search engine optimized. That stuff is super helpful and saves an awful lot of time. But when I read short stories, even back of book descriptions, they're missing something. You know, I think they're a great starting place. And then you have to really, really work on fine-tuning them, honing them in.
Right, yeah. I've just had no experience with them. I haven't got into it yet, so I don't know. I don't have room for it.
One more thing to figure out.
Yeah. I got enough going on, and I just don't know. I don't even do hashtags even when I post, so I'm out of it. I'm old school.
Yeah.
Real old.
Well, where do you stop, you know?
Where do you stop? You have to kind of pick a few things and work on those and not be bothered too much about the rest of it.
Yeah.
Are you on TikTok?
Yeah, I'm on TikTok. I have a pretty good following on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram. Like I'm doing well on those ones. Twitter, not so much. Blue Sky, not so much. I'm on all those, but I don't have much of a following. But I don't really work them as well, I guess, and I don't understand them. But the other three, I've done really well. I think Facebook, I've got 85,000 followers now.
Well, I'm one of them.
Yeah, well, there you go. See? But I don't know. I don't really pay much attention. I do my social media and run, you know, in the morning and try to stay away from it. So you're doing social media? People find you there real easy?
Yeah, I'm doing Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or X. X is being less and less effective. So I'm really concentrating on Facebook and Instagram. I've been playing a little bit with Threads. It's not as productive, I suppose. I don't get as much traction there as I do on the other two. But I'm not on TikTok. I just, like you said about AI, I just can't take on one more thing.
Right, right.
So I'm not on that. And I'm not particularly good at creating video, which is something that I believe is an important part of TikTok. Is it not?
It's the main thing. That's what most people look for, is the video sort of thing. I just post the regular posts, and it's grown quite a bit. It's in the 60,000 area. It's grown a lot, and that's just from me posting what that's just what I post normal. I haven't worked it as in doing videos. I do my dog once in a while when I walk him and stuff like that, but that's, you know, nothing major. So I don't know what the key is there and why people gravitate to certain accounts. I'm not sure. But like I said, I do it and run, you know. Are you doing, do you have a website?
It's jpmcleanauthor.com.
Well, you know, we'll put all of that up there on our website. And, of course, we'll have your new book and everything else up there so people can find it easily. They can hunt you down, give you a...
Well, thank you. Always good to be hunted down.
Yeah. Well, then you know you're wanted. Right? I mean, they're taking the time, you know. So, anyway, so your new book, Scorch Mark. And it's Dark Dreams, Book 3. Dun, dun, dun. J.P. McLean, thank you for being here.
It's been a pleasure. Always nice to chat.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.